Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
Do you look at what a soldier Andy Mazur is?
I really admire what he's doing.
A soldier.
Play it hurt.
You sound like you got a little hook.
I got more than a little hook.
Yeah. Well, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
But look at that. He's obviously not feeling well.
Yeah.
No.
And
he isn't.
He comes into work.
And he's got a long day today.
And he's mm-hmm. got Hampanobia later.
It's his MJ flu game today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, no fever, I come to work. If I had a fever, I wouldn't be here. Yeah. Yeah.
Schwein and I both would be like, ooh, I have a paper clip. I've got a hangnail. I have to stay home.
You know, the show must go on.
It's true.
Yeah. That's right. I have a newsroom to run. I'm here.
What? You need anything? You need some hot tea?
Yeah, I'm going to get some hot tea here in a little bit. I had to get a little caffeine in me first, and then I'll take care of that.
You know, he sent me an email yesterday evening, and he sounded so chipper and bright and happy.
Andy's all of those.
He sent me an email saying, Schwani, I'll be in tomorrow morning. Hope to see you. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, and I was feeling great yesterday. I actually was at the Northwestern Michigan game at Wrigley Field yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't think this weather is doing anybody any favors.
Yeah, the up and downs.
Yeah.
Up and down.
Yeah, 10 inches of snow on Monday and 70 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to offer this as a piece of advice as a senior member here. Andy, when people come to you and say, hey, I enjoy hearing you on Bob Surratt's show, love the Sunday show, you have to stop kissing fans on the lips. When
you know, it's funny. Melina said the same thing.
It's nice of you.
Yeah.
But
I was just channeling my inner Richard Dawson.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so this just kind of came on. I had a little bit of a sinus thing going on the last couple of weeks. Mm. Thought I had beaten it, and apparently it has come back with gusto.
Yeah, those I've had those sinus things. Those are no fun.
Yeah.
Well, you have a thing going on with these on a, you know, sinus infections, and allergy stuff.
Yeah, probably
on a regular basis.
Probably about time I get that taken care of.
You want me to ask Dr. Wheat about all this?
Yeah, that'd be good, actually.
If you just slip on this gown, we'll have the doctor check.
Thank you.
And Schwani always does this whenever I've had any kind of cold. He comes in and rubs Vicks Vapor Rub on my chest. So that's always. I think this is my favorite Stones song, I think. I was trying to decide between this or Get Off My Cloud.
Mine is this one and Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Yeah, like that. I do like, I like some of their slower ones, too. Angie.
Angie's good, yeah.
Love Angie.
Ruby Tuesday's nice.
Love Ruby Tuesday. I predict they'll do very well in the rock and roll business.
I think so.
Today, first time that I saw the Rolling Stones, I think Ed Sullivan show.
Probably, yeah.
Who's Ed Sullivan, Uncle Dean?
You were in my 45 RPM collection again, weren't you? Is that where you found this?
I had this on 45.
I still do.
What's a 45, Uncle Dean?
You know how much I paid for it?
See how many obsolete references we can make in one segment. Pennies? Oh, because those are obsolete, too?
Well, 70 of them. With tax.
Hey, I don't want to brag, and I certainly don't want anyone breaking in my house, but I have a big old jar of pennies.
So do I. I was telling Ryan Burrow here in the newsroom that I'm going to go through my pennies now to see if I have anything of value in there.
Yeah, you don't.
How do you know?
You don't. Just donate them to somebody.
Right, and then they're going to take them to some appraiser and say, this penny is worth $150,000.
Yeah, let me know when that happens.
I will. And you won't see me anymore.
The reason why I played the Rolling Stones song before we get too far
away. It's an anniversary of the song?
It's an anniversary of when they played the International Amphitheater, November 16th, 1969.
Wow.
They played the amphitheater,
wow,
which is cool, but I still find it so funny that people that we had a concert venue at the same place where they slaughtered cows. Oh.
I
imagine Mick Jagger getting off the tour bus
and going,
smelling what it smelled like. It was awful. Literally, it was a slaughterhouse.
Well, I've mentioned this before. In 1967, when the first McCormick place burned, they had to set up the auto show at the last minute, and they ended up setting it up over at the amphitheater.
The International Amphitheater.
And my dad wanted to buy a new car that year and wanted to see some of the newer models. Well, we came in to Chicago, and I do remember getting out of the car, going, it hit you.
It was like a punch in the face.
That was 1967. And the Stockyards went on, what, 71, 72?
Is that when it closed?
I think so, yeah.
We used to go to all of the car show. We went to the auto show, but they used to have the Rotten Custom show.
Yeah.
Any kind of car show that there was. My brother, Bill, was a car enthusiast. And we used to go to every single car show that there was. And many of them were at the International Amphitheater. So I vividly remember that aromatic delight.
I used to go there, too, with my dad to watch the Chicago Cougars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
The World Hockey Association team that was here.
Yeah.
And I do recall seeing a couple of college basketball games there as well.
Yeah, they had lots of... Of course, the Beatles played.
I was just going to say, the Beatles were there twice, I think.
Or the Beatles, Uncle Dave.
No, don't go there.
Was Paul McCartney ever in a band?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, he was.
What's Wings?
Yeah, that's the question these days. What's Wings?
I love Wings. Honey roasted barbecue.
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Maybe that's what Andy needs. A couple of buffalo wings.
Well, there you go.
That'll clear out.
Clear it right up.
That's going on.
Oh, yeah.
I know a place that makes a very good buffalo chicken sandwich. That'll do the trick for you.
Now, let me tell you about this Rolling Stones concert at the very aromatic International Amphitheater.
Were you there?
I was not.
Oh, okay.
1969. My dad didn't let me go to anything where my dad thought a riot might break out someplace.
Which is why you didn't go to the Sly and the Family Stone concert.
I wanted to go to every dangerous thing that there was. And my dad said, if they don't kill you there, I will kill you here. So that's pretty much why I lived the sheltered angelic life of hiding in the basement playing DJ. This is Dean Diamond.
Still want to hear the tape.
You will never hear that tape in a million years. I've had most of it redacted by now anyway.
No, so, you have. So, yeah.
I'm taking lessons on how to redact my embarrassing tapes. So the Stones concert, they had played many venues in Chicago. They played over at Chess Records down on Michigan Avenue.
Oh, Stones. Yeah, 2120 South Michigan Avenue.
In 1964.
The song, yeah.
They played different venues. It's not their first time in Chicago. But at this particular venue, you know who their opening act was? Chuck Berry.
Wow. The opening act was Chuck Berry.
He was the opening act, Chuck Berry. About that.
Well, the Chess Records alum there also.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure they were at the Checkerboard Lounge also.
They played the Checkerboard Lounge. They played it practically every time they came to Chicago. They went over to the Checkerboard Lounge.
Back then they did, yeah.
In Bronzeville. I missed it all out because my dad went. I blame him for, you know. What good are parents if you can't blame them for everything that goes on in your life, really? I could have been at that. I could have seen Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
It's all right. 630 area code said, didn't they also have roller derby at the International Amphitheater?
I wouldn't be surprised,
yes,
but they did. Yeah.
I never went, but they did. I remember that they did, and I remember watching roller derby on TV. Is that still on anywhere? Do they still they still do it, I think.
They tried to bring it back. I think they tried to bring back a league a couple of years ago. I'm not so sure how successful it was.
Yeah. Seems like that would be with all the like extreme sports that they have and like super violent, ultra violent kind of things, that that might be something, but I guess that never kicked back up again. All right, anywho. People look at this. We've got all these nice International Amphitheater memories this morning. Ringling Brothers
the circus
would be at the amphitheater, where you can't tell one smell from another. The rodeo was always popular, it says here on the text line, at the amphitheater. You ever been to a rodeo?
No.
I haven't either. I'm surprised you haven't, Shawnee.
No, I haven't. My
you ventured out into many different worlds.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, you just brought back a memory, though. Before I was around, my parents did a big road trip out west because they had relatives out there. Yeah. And Dad was a big 8mm home movie guy. Oh, wow. And so they went to a rodeo, and he took these wonderful 8mm movies of, you know, the real deal, with a guy out there, you know, bouncing around on a horse trying to stay on.
The closest that I ever came to going to the rodeo was that mechanical horse in front of the grocery store.
I can see you on that.
Where you put a dime in and it's like, woo, I'm a cowboy, woo. You know who has been to a rodeo?
I can see you on that. Bouncing around.
With my Beatles wig on. Beatles wig and a cowboy hat. I was big into head apparel.
Waving one hand in the air with a lasso.
With a cap gun. Producer Eli. Settle down, relax. Producer Eli.
And then the announcer on the store, will Mrs. Richards please report to customer service immediately?
A crazy young boy on the mechanical horse. Saying yippee-o-tie-i-a, would somebody please collect this child?
The police are en route.
Producer Eli originally hails from the great state of Texas. So you've naturally been to rodeos.
Yeah, I know those smells very well.
It's aromatic day on the old Sunday show today.
Yeah, the Fort Worth stockyards were always busy with the cattle going back
and forth.
Listen
to this.
And I went to a couple of rodeos when I was like a little kid. I don't remember a whole lot of like the festivities, but those smells stick with you.
Yeah. Very, it's very cerebral, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Like those certain senses of the body stay with you for life. I would imagine it's super exciting, right?
So much fun.
Yeah, I got to think that it's so exciting. And the
only thing they're missing is a mechanical horse outside.
I think I did one of those at a bar in the early 80s.
In the urban cowboy phase.
I was in my urban cowboy phase. Same cowboy hat that I wore in front of the grocery store. Yippee-o-tie-i-a. Thrown on the ground within 2 seconds. Those guys, the rodeo guys, is there a name for them? The guys that
I've heard rodeo clown, but I don't know if that's like...
I thought those were the guys on the ground.
Yeah, those are the guys that distract the bulls.
You have the bull riders. There's like different terms, I feel like, for everything there. But rodeo guy, I think, would definitely apply. If you pointed at somebody and said, look at that rodeo guy, everyone would know what you're talking
about. Yeah, but I mean, look at the athleticism that those guys have, the skill, mm-hmm. the bravery.
You get thrown from a horse, you could be in big trouble.
Yeah, you're telling me. I could barely walk down the hall. they used to have the rodeos over there as well. Everybody remembering this. Fort Worth Stockyards, a great place to go to watch the rodeos.
That's the one.
That's the 815 area code. Wow. Here's something I never knew that happened there. 708 says, I took my nurse's licensing exam at the amphitheater. In 1979, the circus left some lasting scents. Who knew that you go there to get your nurse's license? Interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when the building was demolished. The 90s, 1990s maybe?
Well, let's see. Let's ask the Google.
All right.
Amphitheater closing.
When did the Chicago Amphitheater close? It was demolished in 1999.
99. I was going to say the 90s, yeah.
1990, because it was a party like it's 1999. Opened in 1934.
Yep, and there was a hotel across the street.
Yeah. There was a famous steakhouse there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And very well known.
Ironically enough, while they were slaughtering cows,
the steaks didn't have to go far to get to the kitchen. Talk about farm to table.
Yeah, like 50 yards. it was located on the west side at 42nd and Halstead in the Canaryville neighborhood, adjacent to the Union Stockyards.
I think the Stockyards opened Christmas Day, 1865.
Wow. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? Well, I guess, you know, the boundaries of the city wasn't quite as urbanized back then. But, yeah, let's put a slaughterhouse right in the middle of the city, right next to where people are living.
Well, that was the start of all of the, the meatpacking industries that were in that area there in
sure.
general.
Yeah. So a rich history and plenty of great concerts that took place there as well. We have a special guest who's going to join us on the show a little bit later on. Golden Globe winner Leslie Ann Warren is doing a special appearance in the Chicago area today. She'll talk with us coming up in just a little bit. Well, here we go once again. Schwani and I just strolling down that dirt road. Schwani picks up a rock. Yeah. Skims it along the top of the water.
You know what I think I'm going to do?
What are you going to do?
Go get me a bottle of pop. Go over to Thelma Lou's and watch a little TV.
I'll be over here with Helen Crump. Who's Helen Crump, Uncle? It's time for the Far-Flung Forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. Schwani, take it away.
Well, thank you very much, Dean, and good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices. We are headed to Ohio today.
Oh,
we're going to Athens, Ohio, southeast portion of the state.
Yeah.
Athens, Ohio, actually was first settled by some European settlers as far back as 1797.
Were they Greek? That they named it Athens?
That's a good question. They may well have been because,
I can see a bunch of Greeks coming over. Let's call it Athens. We call it Athens, and we opened some diners.
Well, it was named for Athens, Greece, so it could quite possible. By the way, I saw on Wednesday when I was in for Steve Grzanich, I saw you on... The Channel 9 Morning News, your favorite TV show,
yes.
Making a Greek breakfast. It looked very good.
That's right. I had Diane Kouchilis from PBS joining me. She was my guest chef, and she made this sort of like a Greek porridge for breakfast that I'd never seen before.
No?
No.
No, but it looked very tasty.
We always had Quaker oats in our house.
What is it? Kahana? Kahina?
I forget.
You don't remember now.
I don't remember. It was good, but, you know, it was like oatmeal.
Well, at any rate, Athens, Ohio, first settled in the early 1800s.
Opa.
It also is the home for Ohio University.
Open.
Population of Athens, Ohio is 23,849. Joe Burrow, the quarterback for Cincinnati, the Bengals, is that correct, Andrew?
That is correct, David.
Yeah. He went to high school in Athens, Ohio. He wasn't born there, but his family was living there at the time. Graduated high school from Athens, Ohio, as did another person named Maya Lin.
Maya Lin,
Maya Lin is the daughter of Chinese immigrants who moved to Athens, Ohio. Maya Lin later became an architect and was the person who designed the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. that was dedicated 43 years ago. Today is the 16th, so this would have been Thursday Thursday of this past week, November 13th.
43 years.
Which was Veterans Day on that year. But the dedication took place November 13th, 1982. And Dean, as you may recall, it generated quite a bit of controversy in the fact that it was, you know, dark and you know, rather grim looking, but
somber,
very, very somber, and no statuary at the start. But once people found out why it was designed the way it was, and really what is on the memorial, all of the names of the people who died in Vietnam.
And to this
day, it becomes very, very significant.
Yeah, to this day, people go there and trace, the, you know, they find...
I've seen them do it.
The name of a loved one, and they put a piece of paper over it and kind of trace over it a little bit all these years later. And I suspect that that will go on as long as that memorial is
there. It certainly will. It certainly will. We were there recently when I was visiting Gilda in August. And we will have pictures on the website.
Very nice.
So the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, designed by Maya Lin from Athens, Ohio. They're having weather pretty much like we're having here today. It's sunny. They will have a high of 54 today.
941, it's Dean Richards, and this is 720 WGN. Time for the Weekend Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. As always, joining us, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, good morning. Thank you for joining us, as always.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing very, very well. Before we start off here, we need an instant diagnosis for Andy Mazur, who is suffering a sinus infection today. We like to bring our medical problems, whatever they are, right here to the show. What would you suggest for someone suffering a sinus infection? What should he be doing?
The things that work the most are all of the symptomatic things. So using nasal saline spray can sometimes help start clearing out some of the mucus, some Tylenol or ibuprofen if there's a fever or pain, lots of fluids, and if it stays for a long time, then maybe needs antibiotics, but we don't usually start there.
Okay, all right. So he'll, I believe he's on a tea break right now as we speak. But
sounds perfect.
It is. That's a tough one, that sinus. I've had many sinus infections, and you just feel like your head's going to explode with something like that.
You really do, and they last a while, unfortunately. You don't feel yourself for a bit.
Yeah, his has been lingering for a while. So anyway, we'll pass along those tips to him. One of the big stories of this past week has been the hospitalization of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. He remains at Northwestern Hospital right now here downtown for progressive supranuclear palsy, which I had never heard of before. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, and it's not surprising that you've never heard of before because it's a fairly rare disorder. And it is a disorder that impacts the nerves and the brain and looks a lot like Parkinson's. And from what I have read about his case, it sounds like that's what happened with him too, was that it looked a lot like Parkinson's. And basically, it is a degenerative disease where your muscles stop working well. And so for many people, their eyes don't move up and down very well. They have to move their whole head to move their eyes. And then all of their movements really slow down is the biggest hallmark, which is why it looks a lot like Parkinson's. And unfortunately, there's just not great treatment or prognosis available for it. Yeah. A lot of like physical therapy and occupational therapy and just trying to make life as easy as possible.
Yeah. Is it degenerative? I mean, is it something that will get worse?
It is. And unfortunately, because it impacts muscles, it can then impact things like being able to swallow and have food and the impact of breathing. Yes, unfortunately, it starts to worsen and there's just not very many options for it.
So how does one determine whether or not it's Parkinson's or supranuclear palsy? I mean, are there certain symptoms that people should look out for themselves you know, that could be a red flag that they need to contact a physician?
I think that either one of them, you're hopefully talking with a physician because your movements are impacted. And it seems like the biggest hallmark of this palsy is the eyes, is really not being able to look up and down without moving your entire head. And then the other way that sometimes this is diagnosed is that they're already under the care of a physician getting treatment for Parkinson's and it's just not working. They're just not responding to the medications in the typical way that someone with Parkinson's might respond. So absolutely, if you feel like you're not moving like yourself, if it's harder to get up, to move your head, to move your eyes, and those are absolutely reasons to go see your physician.
Is this something which could affect anyone, or are there certain age groups, certain demographics of people who might be affected by this?
The good news is it's fairly rare, but for the folks that we see it in, it's most often we're seeing it in older people, which is also what we often see for folks in Parkinson's. I'm not expecting to see this in very young adults. I'm expecting to see this in middle-aged to older adults. Okay. And so it's hard because it looks very much like everything else.
Right. Well, we wish the Reverend Jackson the very best with this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, provide some information for, you know, other people who, if you see symptoms, if you, you know, see things that require further attention, be aware of it at least. We are just, you know, less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving, and everybody's going to be getting together. Everybody's going to be hugging and kissing. Everybody's going to be on a plane. It's a breeding ground, isn't it, for spreading germs. I hate to be that guy, but how should we be taking precautions? Is there something we can do now to build up our immunity for when Thanksgiving gets here? I think it's the 28th this year.
Yeah, you are not wrong. It absolutely is a breeding ground. The things that we can do are just the healthy things, making sure that we're eating well up into it, making sure we're trying to get as much rest as possible, making sure you're doing all of the hand washing that you can, staying away from people that are sick, maybe wearing a mask if you're going out around people that are sick, or if you are sick, to protect the rest of us by wearing a mask. But there's also always, you can still get your flu and COVID vaccines or your pneumonia vaccines or your pertussis vaccines. If you are due for those and not yet up to date, there is still some time to have a little bit of benefit, though we're sort of right at the end of that window because it's usually about 2 weeks. And really just taking care of yourself up until that time, because many of us run around and get very busy in this season and don't take care of ourselves because we're trying to plan for the holidays, and that can actually make it harder for us to stay well.
Yeah, good advice. But once we get to these holiday get-togethers and, you know, everybody, you know, wants a Thanksgiving kiss and a hug and all that, probably not good that I'm wearing a beekeeper suit to my Thanksgiving gathering, right, to protect myself.
I mean, you absolutely could, but you're right. That's probably not going to go over super well. But again, just washing your hands as frequently as you can. Maybe avoiding some of those hugs and kisses if people have been around folks that are sick, and making sure that not related to the hugs and kisses, but making sure that we are using good hand hygiene as we're making the food so that we're not spreading anything as we're making and sharing food together.
All right. I sound like super paranoid, crazy Uncle Dean with all this. But
not at all. You're not wrong.
I'm just trying to prevent. I'm trying to not get sick. I always do. But
yes, I always say I don't have time to get sick. So absolutely, I'm with you.
Exactly correct. When we come back from the break, how walking can decrease the risk of a major disease that people deal with. And your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Dr. Santina Wheat with us today for healthcare. Dr. Santina Wheat, Delner Hospital, Northwestern, on with us this morning for the Week in Health. And Dr. Wheat, I guess there is some evidence that walking, daily walking, can decrease the risk of Alzheimer's. Is that true?
That's true. I feel like every every week there's another study that comes out that says the benefits of walking. So it's something that we should all be doing. But yes, there's been some data that shows that little bits of exercise like walking that can be that low impact have been shown to decrease the progression of Alzheimer's. And so it seems like it's one more reason that we should all be getting up. And the great part about it is you don't have to go for an hour-long walk. It can be bits of 10-minute walks here and there, maybe after your meal, like after your Thanksgiving meal next week, go for a 10-minute walk, and that helps decrease your risk.
Yeah, a brisk walk, a casual walk. You know, because I see people out doing what was called power walking. Do you got to do it like that, or can you? Is it just you want to like keep everything moving for 10, 15 minutes?
It's really the idea of keeping everything moving. Of course, if you do more brisk walking, that helps a bit more with your heart health. And helps you get more in a shorter period of time, but you do not have to walk briskly for there to be a benefit. In fact, that this was the most benefit from folks that were sitting and being very sedentary, getting up and getting even little bits of walks in, they saw the biggest difference there.
Yeah, there are so many benefits, right, for taking, you don't have to jog, you don't have to, you know, go crazy
exactly.
with it, but a little bit of walking can help you in so many different ways. Nick is on the northwest side of Chicago and is on with Dr. Santina Wheat. Hello, Nick.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. There's an antiviral tissue now. It says so on the box. It's a little square box. And my girlfriend, she has had a problem on and off with a runny nose this season. And it seems to have helped her now. I don't know. What else she's taken or if anything else, but it seems to have helped her. I'd like to know the opinion on it. What are the ingredients or what is the ingredient in this thing? And appreciate hearing it.
What do you know about that? These tissue papers that, you know, say they are moisturizers, they are antiviral, you know, I always thought when I see them in the store, it's just, you know, like kind of a marketing thing to try to get you to buy the stuff, and it's no different from anything else. What's your opinion on that,
Doc? Yeah, I guess I'm not familiar. This is like a tissue that like you blow into, or a tissue that you're taking?
It sounds like one that you blow into. Nick dropped off the line there, but I think he meant, because I think I've seen them in the store where it says antiviral, you know, whatever the brand of tissue paper is.
Yeah, that's something I will have to look more into. When I've seen things like this, it's been more likely like soothing tissue so that it doesn't hurt as you're blowing your nose, but also helps catch things so that it's not spreading to other people. But I will have to look into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I did a quick...
They said it's not going to help you in particular, but...
I did a quick Google search on it. Kleenex Antiviral Disposable Facial Tissue, a specially treated mid-layer... that wipes out cold and flu viruses. Wow, that's a medical breakthrough, isn't it?
I mean, if it works, that's great. But I still feel like there's not a whole lot that helps viruses, but something to look out for, I guess.
Yeah, well, and certainly medical science has not really figured out a way to wipe out the flu and cold virus yet, right? Much less a tissue you blow your nose into, I guess. All right. Dr. Wheat, thank you for joining us as always. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
I love that story that you did about the Pope meeting with Hollywood A-listers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Let's see here. You mentioned Spike Lee.
Spike Lee and Cate Blanchett, and there were three or four others, I think, were there.
Oh, many others. Chris Pine, Greta Gerwig, Dave Franco, Alison Brie, Judd Apatow, and many more. I mean, a real diverse collection of serious and comedic actors all meeting with Pope Leo. The thing that struck out to me, I've interviewed Spike Lee maybe 20 times.
Yeah.
He usually has basketball clothing on.
Well,
when you see him
after making a movie like Hoop Dreams, yeah.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. but also, I mean, he's a huge New York Knicks fan.
Okay.
Or he'll have like a purple suit, or you know, it's he's a trendsetter. To meet the Pope, very somber.
Yeah. He sounded like he was very much in awe.
I have never seen Spike Lee in, like, quote, normal clothes. He looked like he was going to church.
Yeah.
And I guess it doesn't get much bigger than meeting with the Pope.
Yeah. Evidently, the Pope has enjoyed movies, you know, throughout his life. Yeah. Someone asked him what his favorite films were. And, yeah. Like, you know, he named It's a Wonderful Life and The Sound of Music.
Right.
And,
yeah. Right. Life is Beautiful.
Life is Beautiful,
remember
right.
that one,
right,
Roberto right. Benigni?
Yes. Yep.
I guess I'm glad he didn't say Porky's or something. Would have been a little weird. But he is from Dalton. You never know. I love that he did this. I love that he did this because what he said was, when cinema is authentic, it does not merely console, it challenges. It articulates the questions that dwell within us and sometimes even provokes tears that we didn't know we needed to shed. How profound is that?
Oh, very much so. Yeah. And very, very true.
And how great to get, like, some of the world's top filmmakers in front of them to, you know, present this. You know, he didn't say, you need to stop making... You know, Judd Apatow has made his share of extremely R-rated films, but to give this beautiful message about what the potential of film could be, of what cinema could be to some of the top filmmakers, I think is a pretty cool thing.
And also his urging not to give up because theaters are still trying to get people back into the theaters after the pandemic, as are live theaters also.
Yeah.
So
Spike Lee gave the Pope a New York Knicks jersey with his name on it.
That's pretty neat, too.
Think he hangs out in the back of the Vatican just wearing all these sports jerseys he's been given lately. Normally, I'm very anti-playing any Christmas music before the day after Thanksgiving, but I'm making an exception in this case because there's a very good reason. You like this one, Schwani?
Sure. This is a classic.
Were you rocking around the Christmas tree back when this was out?
I was, probably with my little transistor radio walking around the room.
Actually,
yeah.
You would have been a little baby when this was originally released.
I would have been, yeah. What? When was it released?
1958.
I was two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could still see a two-year-old Dave Schwan that was a little transistor radio on the side of his little head in his bassinet. I just like that word.
There's a word I haven't heard in decades.
It's Bobby Helms, Jingle Bell Rock. But here's why I pointed out today. Today is the anniversary of the release of the original Home Alone movie.
Oh, okay.
35 years ago today.
35 years for Home Alone?
Little Macaulay Culkin shaved and put the aftershave lotion on and screamed. That was a great movie. Really funny movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's considered, you know, like one of the Christmas classics.
So 35, 1990?
1990. With a great, Chicago history around it. Principal photography, February 1990 to May. It took place, the house exterior scenes shot on location in Winnetka, 671 Lincoln Avenue in Winnetka. The interiors of the house were all on a soundstage, but then sets were built on in the gym of Neutra High School, where director Hughes went to school. He did part of Uncle Buck there. He did part of Ferris Bueller there.
So, I love that movie, Uncle Buck.
Yeah, it's got a lot of real Chicago credentials.
Yeah,
thanks to its director. And, yeah, so happy 35th anniversary to that movie. They asked the Pope his...
35 years.
They asked the Pope... They shouldn't have asked the Pope his favorite
whether he
Christmas
liked...
movie. Well, I meant a favorite Christmas movie. I don't think he mentioned it.
Well, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I guess that's Christmas movie, I guess.
Yeah. It is a Christmas movie. Well, I mean, we associate it with Christmas anymore, have for years now.
I still think that's my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah. I'll go along with that. It's certainly one of my all-time very favorites.
White Christmas? I go for the
White Christmas is great.
I love White Christmas. I love Elf.
Elf. A number of adaptations of A Christmas Carol, the film, the movie.
The Alistair Sim version.
That one, yeah,
That's my favorite.
Yep.
Of all of them. Yeah, there's some pretty great ones that we're going to be bombarded with over the next few weeks. And I mean bombarding in a nice way. I like seeing those. Charlie Brown. I like the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Charlie Brown Christmas
not
special,
really,
sure.
Not really a movie. It's a TV show, but a classic. I like the original When the Grinch Stole Christmas.
How the Grinch Stole
how,
Christmas.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Not when. How.
Yeah, whatever. Sue me. Put a lump of coal in my
stomach. Okay. All right.
Make you happy now. Yeah, I like that with... wasn't Boris Karloff the...
Did the voice?
Was any of the voice in that?
Maybe.
I think so. No, I'm pretty sure that's true. No. Anywho, talking about classic movies in a few minutes. It's the 40th anniversary of the movie Clue. One of its original stars, Leslie Ann Warren, is hosting a screening of the film today at the Studebaker Theater in the South Loop. And
a lot of history in that building.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. On South Michigan Avenue. South Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, South Michigan. Michigan. Yeah. Michigan and just south of Van Buren.
Yeah. So that is going to take place this afternoon. But she will join us here in a few minutes to talk about the anniversary and her amazing career. And Shwani, isn't it true that when there are special events at the Studebaker, then you invite everybody over to your house for coffee and cake afterwards?
No. I don't know where you heard that. Once again, you're making this up.
Some nice coffee and Entenmann's.
You're making this up. You're making it up.
And Shwani's address is
321 Mayberry Lane. Call Sarah for advance reservations.
Andy's got a smile on his face.
That was good.
There he is.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that.
Look at you. Andy having a little, he's working through a little sinus infection.
More than a little.
Here today. You doing okay?
I'm doing all right. Took a little nap in between.
Good. A lot of people do during our show.
I did hear
including the host.
I did hear the doctor, so thank you for that for the info on that.
Yeah, she was ready for a full examination, but
she was.
You went for a tea break or something.
Went for a little tea break.
But boy, so many people on the text line giving Andy advice on things that he should do. Almost everyone wants to give you a sinus rinse.
Oh, really? Those are, I tried those a couple times, and I you feel like you're drowning.
What do you call those pots?
A neti pot. Yeah, you just feel like you're drowning.
Weird.
It's weird.
How about that one that's called Navage? Have you seen the commercials?
Yeah, I've tried. That's the one I tried, and it was just like, oof.
It looks like one of those high-pressure things that you clean the sidewalk off.
Exactly, a little power wash of your sinuses.
High-pressure side, the garage or something. It's like it blows a saline solution
right
through your nasal cavities. Enjoy your breakfast today,
hey, everybody.
By the way.
Yeah.
I guess it's effective in, you know, cleaning out whatever.
Good old Navage.
Have you ever done that, Johnny? Ever get a sign?
I've done the neti pot thing.
Because we can do
just
that
a few times.
I know it's a year away, but I'm already thinking about
three times next year. have sinus cleaning demonstrations.
we can do, you know, how we pass out Lou Malnati's to everybody.
Pass out little neti pots.
We can have a sinus cleaning station.
A little saline rinse, yeah.
Come for the Christmas trees, stay for the Navage.
Good stuff.
But yeah, so you heard her other advice then, right?
I did, yeah. And most of it, unfortunately, I've known for a while just because of being a veteran of these things, unfortunately. But yeah, you kind of have to let nature take its course at some point. I mean, I've been on antibiotics already once for this one, and didn't seem to burn the entire field, you know what I'm saying?
Some people are, yeah. I mean, I was one of those. I had sinus surgery, I don't know, like 30 years ago or something, because I was getting these infections all the time. And it did the trick, but, you know, surgeries, it's no fun. No.
I never had a problem with sinus infections and allergies until into my 50s, and then it hits you. I was told, if you don't have a problem with it when you're young and it affects you when you're older, it can hit you even harder, and it's true.
Tell me, Dr. Schwann, why do you suppose that happens?
I have no idea.
Calling Dr. Schwann, Dr. Howard, Dr. Schwann.
For duty and humanity.
I don't know what that is that changes. Like conditions like that, we should ask the doctor
next week. That's a question for the doctor. Yes.
Well, interestingly, somebody, you know, we're talking about the Navage because you've seen him on the commercials that run all the time. Somebody texted, we ran out of time, but somebody texted about those things that you those pedal things that you put under your desk, and it simulates like bicycle motion.
Oh yeah.
And somebody wanted to know, are those the real deal? That's a good question, because those commercials are on every 5 minutes on TV. So those are things that we will, you know, ask about and get into. But I forgot now. Why did we say we're going to bring this up for the doctor?
Because she was talking about walking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we'll deal with all that coming up in a little while here.
Call her back.
Here we go. Andy needs to use Nelimed. It's a sinus rinse. Love the Sunday show.
You ever tried that, Andy?
I have not.
Schwani's going to...
I can go home and
he's
get my
administer,
Andy.
Yes.
He's going to administer all these medications to Andy.
Well, you had a newsroom to run.
I don't know if... I don't know if people know that Schwani is the official medical officer on the Sunday morning show.
Oh, now we're in big trouble.
If anything happens big to trouble. Any of us, Dr. Schwann, calling Dr. Schwann. oh, this is nice. 847 area code. Love the Sunday show, especially the first hour. It's the silly hour.
It is a little silly.
Yeah, we love it. Here you go, Andy. I'll bet you haven't tried this. 815 area code. Polish brandy clears up anything.
Huh. Polish brandy, huh?
My grandmother swore by blackberry brandy.
Hmm.
When we were little kids, if you had the slightest little thing, she'd get out the shot glass.
Is your grandmother?
My grandmother. Pour a little blackberry brandy, not the whole shot glass, but...
And she'd say, here, drink this.
Opa.
Down the hatch.
Light some cheese down the hatch.
Love the home remedies.
Oh, here you go. Irish whiskey. I'm seeing a theme developing here.
So you're saying I should try some whiskey?
Yeah. You know what I would love? If you had a whole bunch of Irish whiskey right as Hamp and OB are starting.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
Hamp, OB, and Drunky Andy.
Yeah,
Hey, everybody.
I wouldn't have to worry about my sinuses after my arm get broken, you know?
And the Saints and Bears are playing the Saints today. They're pretty ladies.
They're not playing the Saints. They're playing the Vikings.
Yeah. Vikings, yeah, whatever. No. He was drunk.
Less pretty.
He didn't know what he was talking to. I don't think I've ever seen Andy half in the bag, as they
No, it's been a long, long time.
On the other hand,
no,
I'm trying to think of the times that I don't see Schwanny.
Stop. When he's... Just stop. It never fails. Sooner or later, it rolls around.
It does.
To
Oh, I just remembered this.
Oh, no.
I just remembered something.
What?
I've talked many times about the blackmail photos that I have of you.
No, and Eli, hit the button.
One day, I've instructed Schwanny with this. If anything ever happens to me, before you call the police, before you call the coroner, before you call anybody, go to my house and go get those blackmail photos, because if those get out in the public, you are in trouble, my friend. But anyway, so, you know, we've joked about I'm not joking. I do have these hilarious photos from...
I believe you're in them also.
I am, and they're just as embarrassing and blackmailing for me as they are for you. But you're a serious newsman. I'm a clown. We've talked about these photos many times. Somebody who's known you from like childhood sent me some photos of you.
What?
From parties where they're hilarious photos of you.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, that's great.
Somebody sent me Dave Schwann. You might be like a teenager or maybe early
20s. High school pictures, probably.
Yeah.
At parties.
Yes. Yes.
Oh no.
Okay.
No, did they send them to you in the mail? Yeah. Did they send them
email,
to you?
Email.
Oh, email pictures.
Yeah.
Today?
A couple of days ago. A couple of days ago. And I meant to send you copies of them, but then I thought it's better if you don't have copies of them.
It may be better.
And only I do.
Did you delete the email?
No.
No.
Of course not. I had them made into poster size.
Did you forward the email?
You're going to have a special Christmas morning when you unwrap these, my friend. Fantastic. The original Miss Scarlet from Clue, the movie. Celebrating its 40th anniversary and celebrating it here in Chicago tonight at the Studebaker Theater in the South Loop. Appearing tonight along with the screening of the film, Leslie Ann Warren, a Golden Globe winner, an Oscar-nominated actress, films to her credit like Twin Falls, Idaho, and 10th and Wolf and Consolation, Victor Victoria, of course, The Happiest Millionaire, the original television version of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. The list goes on and on and on for Leslie Ann Warren, who joins us on the phone right now. Leslie Ann, welcome to the show. Very nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
When you hear that clip that we just played from Clue, what kind of memories does that bring back? That is just one of the most classic scenes from the motion picture.
Thank you. I remembered while you were playing it how difficult it was for me to remember those numbers and to make sure I did it correctly. You know, it was difficult. It was a hard scene for both of us, Tim and myself.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the great Tim Curry, of course, with you in that scene, and this movie is just a who's who of fantastic talent, the great Madeline Kahn and Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean,
Martin Mull,
Eileen Brennan, of course.
Yeah.
I just can't believe, honestly, that it's 40 years since this has come out. It seems like yesterday, but...
does.
Yeah, I'll bet. So what's going to happen tonight at the Studebaker Theater exactly?
Well, it should be a lot of fun. We've been doing this in a couple of different places, and people just go crazy. I mean, really, they do. I'm not making that up. We have an interview on stage with me and different people at different times, different places. But tonight it will be Scott Stander, who is producing this tour. And then I take questions, which lasts about, 20-30 minutes, something like that. And then I take questions from the audience, which is the most fun part, because they really ask, very specific questions about what they want to know. And so they get a lot of backstage, secrets, information.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes. It's fun, really fun. And then the movie. Then they run the movie.
Oh, that's it's going to be so. These kinds of things are so fun. I've been to several of them. I've hosted several of them, and you learn so much about these classic films. And the opportunity to see the film up on a big screen. For some
it's
of these
so
movies
different.
That have, you've only seen on video or on a streaming service, or, if you go back far enough on VHS tape, it's just a fun evening. What are the most frequently asked questions at these special anniversary nights that you've been putting on?
That's interesting. People ask me what my favorite ending was. I don't want to give it away right now, but what my favorite ending was. They asked me about what was my favorite scene, what was it like to work with all these brilliant comic actors. Those are just some of the general questions that get asked.
So let me ask you one of those questions. What was it like to be part of this ensemble? That's what it feels like to me when I've seen this movie. I marvel at this ensemble of talent around what must have been a challenging movie to put together, since it's based on a board game.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's. I always say that these are some of the greatest, and I believe it, the greatest comic actors of all time. They're not comedians. They're comic actors. And somehow, and it's very rare, it's almost like lightning in a bottle, because it rarely do you get an ensemble that so perfectly melds with each other, and that each character is so specific and unique unto itself, and yet forms this incredible dance with the other actors. It was a marvel. We were a little crazy and difficult for Jonathan Lynn, the director, to keep a hold of. I always say it's like herding cats, because we would laugh hysterically at each other's work. I mean, it was so funny.
Yeah, I can only imagine. You can tell as a viewer, when you're an audience member, you can tell when the chemistry's there and when it's not there. When the actors are just reading the lines and they can't wait to get back to their dressing rooms. And when they genuinely like each other, and there's a special feeling when you watch a movie like that, it seems to me.
I agree.
Tim Curry was, what was your experience like with him in particular?
Well, we all were, we were brought into Paramount before we started shooting by the director to, as a group, watch his Girl Friday with Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell. And he did that because he wanted everyone to have the same kind of clipped way of speaking and the tenor of the time and the sensibility. And we all did that. And it was a great tool for us. But Tim had the most lines and the most, dialogue that had to be expressed like, the rat-a-tat-tat of a gun. I mean, it was so much for him. And I swear, I never saw him make a mistake. I never saw him flub a line, really.
Leslie Ann Warren is with us, the original Miss Scarlet from Clue, the movie, celebrating its 40th anniversary at the Studebaker Theater tonight at 7:30. I'll give you all the details if you want to come and join her. Tickets are still available. And we'll talk more with Leslie Ann Warren. If you've got a question, you can call or text 312-981-7200. The great Leslie Ann Warren from Victor Victoria. Leslie Ann, please tell me you're going to be going on stage to this song tonight over at the Studebaker Theater.
Sadly, I don't think I will be, but yeah, I think it's a clue event. But nonetheless, I'm so proud of that show.
Yeah,
that movie.
It garnered you an Academy Award nomination. I mean, you must have tremendous memories of the making of Victor Victoria.
Oh, I do. I do. I mean, if I ever do any kind of a tour like this for Victor Victoria, I have so many stories.
Ooh.
Well, there's great a tease. Memories. Let me say great memories. It was a fantastic experience. One of the highlights.
Yeah. One of these kinds of events like you're doing tonight at the Studebaker, I did with Julie Andrews at the Chicago Theater where they, I forget which movie they showed, or maybe it was just a straight Q&A, but I was honored to be on stage with Julie Andrews, and we talked about her amazing career, just as you will be doing tonight. And it's interesting filmography, a fantastic filmography. Do you have favorites? Is it possible? I know when I ask this question of actors, it's like asking who's your favorite child. But I mean, do you have special moments? I had somebody on the text line send a very lengthy text about watching Cinderella, watching your version of Cinderella with their parents, and they still do to this day, and they sing the songs together. I mean, it must be very special for an actor to be part of these special moments in people's lives.
Yeah, I mean, I had an experience in Indianapolis, and this young woman came up to me, and she was really crying and saying how she'd been watching me since she was 4 years old, starting with Cinderella, and, you know, everything since. It's almost an impossible thing to take in, you know, the fact that you have been a part of people's lives in such a significant and impacting way. It's an incredible gift, and it's so beautiful.
One text after another here. Please tell Leslie her version of Cinderella is my favorite. What a treat to hear her. 847 area code. One of my favorite childhood memories is watching Leslie in the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella. 847. Please ask Leslie what it was like to work with Stuart Damon.
Oh, he was an absolute doll. What was great about him, because we were filming crazy long hours. We sometimes filmed 23 hours. I mean, it was crazy, but he was so funny, and that's not part of his character at all in Cinderella, but I found he was so funny, and I love to laugh. So we were able to keep each other's spirits up in that way. He was just a lovely, lovely man.
Yeah. But do you have other favorite projects that you have worked on through the years?
Oh, I have so many. Honestly, I have so many. I actually just did a short film called Olive, and it was an extraordinary experience, and it's a beautiful, beautiful film that is now being considered for Academy Award consideration.
Yeah.
So it's thrilling to me, because I loved this from the minute I read the script. And then, of course, meeting the director, writer-director, Tom Koch, who was only 24. And he is brilliant. So I'm excited for people to see this.
Yeah, this film Olive is probably going to be nominated in the short film category, and has been the winner at numerous film festivals
this recent
season. So mm-hmm. It definitely one that's worth looking out for.
Yeah.
What do you think of the state of movie making today? There are so many, such a variety of different kinds of projects, especially with streaming now. There's so much out there. What's your take on the process of feature films these days?
Well, I think it's fantastic that there are so many varied artists and stories that they want to tell, and it in different genres. I think it's fabulous. I think that there has been still, you know, problems since COVID, really, and then everything that's followed, getting as many movies made and getting people to come to the theater.
Right.
You know, it's so easy for them to sit home and watch, you know, television, watch streaming movies. And that's great. And that's wonderful that it reaches so many more people. But I am still a movie theater person. And I remember hearing Martin Scorsese saying that the feeling of sitting in an audience and having a communal experience watching a film, is there's nothing like it.
Yeah, I agree. There is nothing like the experience of seeing a movie on a big screen, especially, as I say, some of these ones that maybe you have only seen on video or DVD.
Correct.
Or a streaming service, to be able to see it the way the director intended for this film to be watched in the first place is night and day difference.
Yes, and I think that's what's going to be so great about tonight, because, you know, some people haven't seen Clue on a big screen.
Yeah.
And so how fabulous for them to be able to sit with other people. When I hear it backstage, the howling from the audience is incredible. And, you know, to have that experience with other humans is kind of great.
Yeah, the communal experience, there's nothing like it. 708 area code says, I just watched Cinderella a few days ago. I'm 70 years old now, but as I was watching it, I was 10 years old again.
Mm.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
You've given us so many wonderful gifts. Clue, the movie, is one of them. The 40th anniversary tour continues, and that continues tonight at the Studebaker Theater on South Michigan Avenue, 7:30 tonight, and you get photos taken with Leslie Ann Warren. There's a VIP meet and greet section. If you want to get more information, you can go to fineartsbuilding.com to get all of the latest. It's a real pleasure to have you on today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And break a leg tonight. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.